Christmas is not an event. Christmas is not a season. It's not a church service or a set of familiar carols or decorations of red and green or a jolly man in a red suit with eight tiny reindeers. Christmas is not an occasion or a party or a festival. It's not a piece of history or time off work or a gathering with family. All of these things might be connected to Christmas, but none of them constitute the essence of what Christmas is. Christmas is, above everything else, a choice. A choice that begins with a young girl and the incredible news from the angel that she would bear a son and be the mother of the Messiah. The choice presented to Mary was one that would fundamentally change her life, and not her life alone, but our lives as well. This was not an immediate choice, nor was it an easy one. Luke's gospel tells us that Mary was afraid at first, that she was perplexed and pondered the meaning of the angel's words and how this could be. And even after she said yes to the angel's message, she fled in haste to the Judean hill country when the consequences of that choice became clear. The consequences of being a young woman with child out of wedlock. The risks of Mary's choice were tremendous. Not only did she risk being rejected by her fiancé, she risked judgment from her family and the community, and punishment, and the typical punishment for being pregnant outside of wedlock at that time was stoning to death. Joseph, too, has a choice. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that Joseph had resolved to quietly put Mary away. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, a kind man, a gentle man. He knew that he could not possibly marry this woman who was pregnant by someone other than himself. But he did not wish to bring shame upon her. And so he attempted to keep the whole affair, or had resolved to keep the whole affair quiet, until an angel also appears to him. And again, after pondering the angel's message, Joseph chooses to accept that message, to stay with Mary, to marry her, and to raise the child as if it was his own, to care for it, protect it, nurture it. And at this Christmas time, we have another angel appear, this time to the shepherds. And they too have a choice. Do they flee? Do they disregard this incredible news? Or do they heed the angel's directions and make haste to the manger where the newborn babe is made? Christmas is a choice that began with two people, Mary and Joseph. And they could have said no. And their lives and our lives would have been very different had they made that choice. Before they could say yes to God, however, they had to overcome their fear. It's significant that the first word spoken by the angel to both Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds as well, are "fear not." They had to choose to overcome their fear. We live in a world beset by fear. Fear of the other. Fear of the stranger. Fear for the future of our children, and indeed the very future of our planet. Fears about the economy. Fears for our jobs. Fear is a powerful emotion, an emotion that often leads to anger and despair and cynicism and even hatred. When something frightens us, the easiest response is to lash out in anger and self-defense. In our fears, we construct walls, walls so that we will not be caught defenseless. We keep our guard up so that we will not be left unaware, made to look foolish, or become victims of some surprise attack. Our fear almost makes us seek out darkness everywhere we go, if only to justify the walls that we have constructed around our hearts. It would have been very easy for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds to choose fear. But they trusted the words of the angel. Be not afraid. That phrase, fear not, be not afraid, appears in Scripture 365 times. Once for every day of the year. And it's significant that those words are repeated so frequently. A constant reminder to us of how easy it is to be afraid, to fall into fear, and all of the attitudes and behaviors that follow from it. Yet, if we trust God, if we have faith, we heed the message, fear not. But we have a choice. We always have a choice. We can choose fear. We can choose to lock ourselves from the world and from one another. We can choose to adopt a suspicious and negative attitude that impairs our ability to trust, our capacity for hope, and impedes our ability to enter into relationship with one another. Fear is a choice. It is as much a choice as Mary's and Joseph's decision to embrace the angel's message, fear not. And each and every Christmas, we are presented with that same choice. God places the power in our hands. God comes into the raging inferno of our world full of fear and says to us, "Do you want me? Will you allow me to be born among you? Will you accept this tiny infant as your savior, your friend, your hope?" And we are free to say no. And many do. They turn this celebration of the birth of the babe of Bethlehem into a celebration of consumption, of self-indulgence. Of course, underneath the choice is another choice. And that is the true choice of Christmas. The choice to be vulnerable to joy. Vulnerable to joy, you might be thinking. That doesn't seem to be much of a choice. Who doesn't want to experience joy? Well, it's more complicated than that. Because the easier choice, perhaps even the more natural choice for us, is the despair and cynicism and even hatred born of fear. It's easy to choose fear. It's easy to live in fear. It's easy to lock ourselves away from others, trusting no one, suspecting everyone. It's always easier to hate than to love. The despair and cynicism and even hatred born of fear are the paths of least resistance. When something offends or frightens us, the easiest response is to lash out in anger and self-defense and to erect walls of protection around ourselves. And yet, despite our natural inclination, God, too, has made a choice. God has chosen to come among us in the babe of Bethlehem. A helpless infant. An infant that needs to be cared for, nurtured, protected, and loved. Of course, the birth of a child is always an occasion of joy, at least temporarily. But joy is a surprisingly difficult emotion to experience fully. How often do we hedge our joy? Yes, we celebrate in the moment, but in the back of our minds is the suspicion that it will not last, that something is lurking just around the corner, that our luck and good fortune will fade, that the present light will dim, and we'll find ourselves in darkness. But if we want to truly experience the fullness of joy, we have to risk. We have to be vulnerable in the same way that Mary and Joseph risked and became vulnerable to the judgment, rejection, punishment of others. We have to make a choice to become as fragile, undefended, vulnerable, utterly reliant on something beyond ourselves as that babe in the manger. God took joy in giving God's self to us in this way. And if we're willing to take the same risk that God did, we too can feel the same joy that God feels. Light will meet light. Joy will touch joy. The darkness itself will bow in awe at the radiance that shines out of the fragile infant Christ, born anew in our hearts. And that's what happens when we reject fear. That's what happens when we tear down the walls around our hearts, when we start trying to be in control all the time, safe all the time, right all the time. When we make that choice, we allow the light radiating from that small face in the manger to penetrate our hearts and to transform our lives. And in that joy, we experience a lightness of being that only true joy can bring. The fears and cares of the world become insignificant. We may laugh, we may cry in our joy. A joy deeper than temporary happiness or celebration or giddy exuberance. A joy that lasts forever, if we allow it to. A joy that remakes us, that tears down our cynical and fearful identities and gives birth to a self that is trusting, patient, believing, knowing, generous, and kind. Joy is the first breath breathed by the babe of Bethlehem. It's the first breath the resurrected Christ takes in the tomb on Easter morning. It is the breath behind the healing words he speaks to you when you clutch at the hem of his robe. It is the quiet, sweet breaths of the sleeping baby in the manger as we look on, feeling our hearts overflow. And if we allow it, the joy of Christ becomes our own breath. And if we surrender this to this grace, we could no more choose not to live in him than we could choose not to breathe. That is what awaits us behind the choice of Christmas. That is what being open and vulnerable to joy feels like. That is what joy can do to us if we let it, if we have the courage to let go into the miracle of this day. It's all up to us. What choice will you make this Christmas?